get stomped barefoot and get drunk and roll. Because I'm a hard-working man, you think I'm going to be a slave for you all my life. And you know in reason you don't know how to treat a good man right. Now let's get stomped barefoot, mama, and get drunk and roll. Let's get stomped barefoot, mama, and get drunk and run. I don't feel like bugging with you, mama, but I just feel like having my fun.
And now we're up to episode 8 of Beyond Checkerdome.
How the hell is it possible?
I don't know, man.
It's like we're seasoned veterans, even though we've only been doing this for a couple months.
Is this well practiced, or is it just being stubborn?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, but I'd probably say the stubbornness is probably closer.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
No giant beers today. I do have something I want to try for the first time.
Okay, what do we got?
I'll hold it up here.
Okay, I saw Valley. That's all. Crown Valley Brewing. I've heard of them.
I had not heard of them. But it is a Imperial Pumpkin Smash. It's a stout brewed with pumpkin and spices.
Oh, wow. I would drink that.
Me too. And it's this Crown Valley Brewing is out of St. Genevieve.
Okay, that's where I'd heard of it, okay.
So it's more or less local.
Yeah. Can you get
if
it
I
open?
If I can get it open. Holy shit. Bottle opener was right around it. There you go.
It's a good thing we have the sound effects. And,
right.
That way we don't have to depend on somebody else trying to pry the damn bottle open. And it's like, shit, I can't get it. So, how's it taste?
First impressions, very good.
Good. Well, it's pumpkin ale. It's pumpkin stout.
Yeah, you get the pumpkin for sure. You can definitely taste the stout part of it. Pretty damn good.
Good. All right, then we're off to a rip-roaring start.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so I am, as you folks know, I'm Tyler. I am King Donut I on Twitter, Donut King on Game Time, and you are?
I am just some guy. No, I am Crosscheck Rays. I am Crosscheck Rays on both Twitter and stlouisgametime.com.
We are set for episode 8 because how the hell we got to episode 8 is kind of amazing to me, but
keep plugging away.
Absolutely. And we're getting better, so.
And we're getting closer to the season.
Yeah. Finally less than a month out now.
I would say those little milestones
exactly.
That you start crossing to get to the season, we're starting to come across those. Those are pretty nice to see happening.
I was going to say one of them is the Traverse City Tournament, which we will talk about later in the program. But first I wanted to ask, has Petro signed yet?
Yeah, let me check. No.
No. God damn it. But somebody did sign.
Yes!
Kind of.
They signed a tryout contract.
Yes, with a guy who, a seasoned vet who's about my age, which means he is a seasoned vet because he is old.
Well, he's just turned 30 earlier this year.
Yep.
I guess, depending upon your perspective, he's either an old man or a young man.
Yeah.
One Ryan Whitney.
Yeah. Veteran defenseman, most recently with the Edmonton Oilers, a left-handed shot, I do believe.
Previously with Anaheim, and won a cup with the team that drafted him, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes, he did. So they'll probably draw off that experience. He's probably going to be around the team in some capacity after the tryout, because I think he was good enough to be able to get a contract somewhere, and he didn't. I don't know how that didn't happen.
I think he's good enough to be an NHLer pretty much anywhere. He's not going to be your franchise defenseman. Those guys aren't generally available in the middle of or the beginning of September.
Right.
On a free agent market, you're not going to find your franchise defenseman there.
No.
But
Daryl Sador is your Kent Huskins.
Exactly. We did not sign Ian McDonald. He ended up retiring.
Mm-hmm.
We dropped Langenbrunner. We let go of Scott Nickel, who retired and is now part of the coaching staff at Nashville. Mm-hmm. Those are all lots of experience. Langenbrunner and McDonald, those are two cup winning players who are no longer part of the team.
Yeah.
Those are gaps you kind of want filled, I guess. It's not like you have to have, there's no real quota about this, but
no.
Anytime you can add that, it's considered a positive. And when you lose some of those players, you kind of want to replace that with somebody. Ryan Whitney fits that mold.
Oh, absolutely. And he's, you know, he's seen a lot in his handful of years in the NHL. What is it, about 7-8 years, whatever. Anyway, however long he's been. He's seen a lot. Again, he has won a cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was a decent member of that team. He wasn't obviously a key cog because obviously you've got Sidney Crosby. You've got Evgeny Malkin. You've got Chris Letang, Marc-Andre Fleury. Those are the key cogs of that team. But he can draw off some past experience and be able to impart that on what is a largely young defensive core. You know, Petrangelo and Shattenkirk, obviously the two key cogs of the defensive core, they are the youngest.
Yep.
Anything that he can help with,
sure,
I'm all for. If he ends up making the team, which I think he might have a good shot of, he's probably going to end up being in the press box a lot.
There was some speculation online that he could sign a two-way contract, spend some of this time in Chicago, and then get called up for periodic, you know, fill-in duty.
Yeah. If he's not too proud to do that. I don't think he is.
If your only connection with the NHL is a professional tryout contract, I don't think you've got much room for pride. I mean, to be honest with you.
And even then, I don't think he's the type of guy that, I mean, he's never seemed like the type of guy who would, you know,
it's just, that. You know, you got to be real about the situation. And look, if you really were that prideful, this offseason should have, you know, cured you of that.
Yep.
The fact that you're still available should cure you of that.
Yeah.
He seems to be a pretty productive player. Even last year was a bit of a rebound for him.
Yeah.
So I think he's got some plenty of gas left in the tank.
Yeah.
If we can sign him to be a seventh defenseman once Petro comes back, or even if, heaven forbid, there is a holdout, he'll plug in. He's not going to be a replacement for Pietrangelo. You cannot replace Pietrangelo.
No. For one, he's a left-handed shot, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, so, yeah. But, I mean, in terms of, you know, his role in the team.
Yeah.
It's not
like
you subtract one, plug the other one in his place, and you're done.
Yeah. No, if it were that, if it were that easy, every team would win the Stanley Cup every year.
Exactly. But, I think, you know, should there be a holdout, you advance the Leopold-Shattenkirk pairing, make that your top pairing. Maybe, I don't know, can Bomeister play the other side?
I think he can. I've not seen him try it, honestly, but, you know, he is pretty talented. So, you know, he's got a very good shot at making the Team Canada Olympic roster, so he's not some schlub off the street. We all know that.
I wondered if you'd pair him with Bomeister.
Either that or have Whitney play that side or something. I don't know. Or, you know, bring up Jackman or, I don't know. There's so many ways that you can mix and match. And, you know, Ken Hitchcock's going to be playing with that all season long.
But it struck me is that I think during Whitney's time in Edmonton overlapped a little bit of Bomeister's time in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they played each other a number of times. They probably were pretty well aware of each other's capabilities.
Very true. I didn't think about that, but yeah, I would say Battle of Alberta stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I think they should be pretty well acquainted with each other. I think those two could, in a pinch, again, work together, and then you can maintain your shutdown pairing of Pollock and Jackman.
Yep.
If Bomeister can't switch sides, or if Whitney can't switch sides, then you kind of have to add something else to the mix.
Sure.
Whether it be one of the rookies, whether it's Ian Cole or something like that, but somehow stir that around a little bit to give yourself still a solid defense. And we have a really deep defense, so I am not really that worried.
No, neither am I. Even if somebody like Pietrangelo would hold out, and I don't think he will. Let's get that out of the way right now. I don't think there will be a holdout much further than first bit of training camp and maybe the first couple of preseason games.
Yeah. I mean, people keep alluding to the Subban situation. PK that Subban. He held out for a handful of games? It wasn't that much.
It was four games.
Yeah, four games and, out of an 82-game season. Buff.
Well, actually, in this case, it was 48-game season, but, you know.
Well, upcoming, though.
Oh, upcoming? Oh, yeah, four games out of an 82-game season. I could muster that. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to come to that. So
I don't really expect it to. I'm not worried either way.
Right. And the way that, I mean, it's different in this situation because there is still a training camp. There are preseason games. Subban didn't have that. He had, you know, basically 2 weeks, okay, get your contract done and get going. Well, it was not that simple. So, you know, this has been worked on all offseason. There hasn't been a break in the talks because of, you know, a stupid-ass fucking lockout. But, you know, so this has been worked on for a while. They don't have time pressure on him, at least as much as Subban did. And it's more comparable to the Drew Doughty situation of 2011-12. He did miss a considerable amount of preseason games. He lost like five of them. But I don't think that that's going to happen in this case.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's kind of hard to predict because there's not really much information coming out, which is kind of curious.
There's not information coming out, but that's actually a pretty good thing.
I think so. I think the closest comparison currently is what's going on in Toronto with Nazem Kadri.
Oh, God.
One where it seems like Nazem Kadri's agent, who is, it's a small agency, Kadri's like the big fish of that small pool of players. Yeah. They're trying to make a score out of that, and it seems like they're playing hardball a little bit. And Toronto, the management there, seems to be trying to put feelers out into the media, basically negotiate through the media, through the public. There's been a couple of confrontations between the player, Kadri, and members of the hockey media on Twitter.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah.
It's a little interesting, but it's kind of icky
that
the business is being done that way. And I think it's a nice thing about the St. Louis side of things where this is not happening.
Right.
The marquee player, nonetheless. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who would scoff at the importance of Alex Pietrangelo to our team. Pietro's a big, big cog. And widely recognized across the league as one of the best young defensemen out there.
Right. Nazem Kadri's got a pretty good reputation as being a good young player, too. And he was a very key component to that team that made the playoffs last year for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But one of the funny things about that one is that, you know, these contract feelers are coming out from, you know, and the media sources are very legit. But there's also, all of them seem to have connections to Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment. Have you noticed that?
Well, Maple Leafs themselves are owned jointly by Rogers and what's the other one?
Is it
Sportsnet or
yes.
No?
I believe it's Sportsnet, yes. I can't remember. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, when you say all these sources.
Put it to this way, it would be like a hockey team in America being owned jointly by ESPN and Fox Sports. It's basically that type of level of media connection with the team. They actually, the broadcast outlets actually own the team. And these leaks are coming out from, obviously, that side of the negotiating table. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of them that was, you know, that very much bandied about was the one from Bob McKenzie, who's a great reporter. An excellent reporter. Love the guy. He's really great. But he puts out the feeler, and what did Kadri respond? Wrong,
false.
Bobo.
Bobo.
Or false, Bobo.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody calls him Bobo, right?
I think you might have gotten that from Darren Dreger, might have called him that.
Yeah,
or it could have been meant to be as Bobo and misspelled or mistyped. But in any case, it came out as Bobo.
Bobo. Oh, Jesus. That started.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And of course, that was fun. And of course, Bob McKenzie is probably the most respected voice out there.
Yeah. And he's got a great sense of humor, too, I've noticed over the years. So he probably didn't think much of it. So you know, he's like, he's just talking.
And we come back to the point again that Kadri's just a kid. He's still
a kid.
Learning his way around the league.
Yeah, he's a good young player, and I'm if I'm a Leafs fan, I'm very excited for the future, especially as it surrounds him and the young core that they have there. It's just that, you know, their GM is kind of weird. But anyway.
Their GM and their ownership is a little weird.
It's a madhouse up there. If you think it's bad down here, holy shit, it's fucked up in Toronto.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Well, just kind of recap. Signing Whitney to a professional tryout contract. Tryout offer. That's a good thing. It gives you a plan B. It gives you a warm body to use in your drills and your practice sessions and your camp sessions. Should Petro be signed? Great. Now we have just some added depth that we can either use as a seventh defenseman or as a mentor to our AHL players, or, you know, and multiple uses there.
Sure.
And if heaven forbid there is a holdout, that gives us more tools to work with there.
Absolutely. So I'm totally cool with bringing him in, see what he has. If you can get some use out of him, great. It'll be just like the Wade Redden signing from last year.
Exactly, and that turned out pretty well for us. I think he was a great player.
It turned out very well for all sides involved because he got on with the team, was with the team for a while, ended up being in the press box for a bit, ended up being traded to Boston at the deadline, and he ended up playing some games in the Stanley Cup Finals, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he did. I believe he did play in the final, in the final series. So, it worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, worked out very well for both sides.
I see the Whitney signing as a lot like the Wade Redden, Chi-Chu.
Kent Huskins, maybe?
Derek Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, Derek Armstrong.
Yeah. Players like that who are maybe past their prime, but can still play a role, limited, very low cost.
Not going to hurt anybody, yeah.
Not going to hurt anybody, mostly upside.
Yeah.
And just see how things play out. Very little risk. Of course, this says a lot about Edmonton's management of players that they let a guy like Whitney go. They're not exactly deep in defense in Edmonton. I'm not quite sure why he was considered expendable.
They don't even have a top young defenseman over there. I mean, other than Ladislav Schmid, I guess.
Well, the Schultz kid.
Schultz. Oh, yeah, him. I keep forgetting about him.
Yeah, he was kind of a lucky draw for them.
But other than that, I mean, their defense is just,
Yeah,
it's nondescript is basically how you can describe it.
Very meh. Very meh.
If those are the only two I can think of, Ladislav Schmid and Schultz, that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, pretty much. So there's a lot remains to be seen about how that team's going to do. And their biggest, I think, Achilles heel is in defense.
Yeah.
And maybe goaltending, too.
Well, goaltending, I mean, they got a good young goaltender. I believe Devin Dubnyk is still there. He's going to be fine. It's just he's going to get shelled. That's all.
Trial by fire.
Mm-hmm. He's already learned enough about that end.
Yeah, he knows what to expect, at least as of now.
Yeah, yeah. He knows to wear a helmet.
Yeah. Wear a helmet, wear a cup.
Yep.
They just announced the training camp schedule.
Finally!
And, of course, a lot of people have been asking about that online. I like to dip into the chat sessions that Jeremy Rutherford has on the Post-Dispatch website. And almost every third question is, do you know anything about the training camp schedule? Are they going to be open to the public? When are they going to have them? When's it going to start? Where are they at?
Yeah.
They finally did announce the training camp schedule. And the official practice facility for the Blues is
St. Louis Mills.
St. Louis Mills training facility, right.
Beautiful place, by the way.
I've not been there. Way too far out there that I just kind of never got around to it.
It's a bit of a jaunt, but it is a really nice facility. I've been there once, and I tell you what, it's pretty well put together. I mean, it's at the Mills, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
The Mills is pretty cool. Good place for an NHL team to go practice, let's put it that way.
That being said, training camp starts on Thursday, September 12th. At Scott Trade Center.
Good place to start it.
Yep, and then they start again on the 13th, also at Scott Trade. The next two sessions, 14th and 15th, they're at the St. Louis Outlet Mall, which I guess is the Mills.
That is the Mills, yeah.
And then Monday, September 16th, they're back at Scott Trade Center again, and every single camp session is at Scott Trade after that.
That's interesting. Go back to the mills. Yeah, I thought, wow, that's a big facility they have to not use.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've been using it a lot for, you know, open informal skates and
right.
that type of stuff. So, I mean, and there are a lot of things that go on at the mills, and
sure,
know, it's a pretty big place. So, it could handle it, but I think it's probably best off if, just for public relations type stuff. Go ahead and start things at the big place and just get everybody to have a feel for what's going on. So that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and I can tell you, for me personally, it's more convenient to go to Scottrade.
Yeah.
I might actually go to one of these sessions.
I was going to say, all you got to do is yep. train over downtown.
Hop on Metrolink and get on downtown.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a number of practice sessions, mostly in the morning or 12 noon, and mostly at Scottrade Center. And they are free and open to the public. So
that's wonderful.
I'd say get on down there, check out the kids, see how things are shaping up with the new yeah. faces. It could be an entertaining day.
Yeah, absolutely. This is all going to start right after all the kids come back from Traverse City. So
yep.
they're going to be ready. The veterans, all but Petrangelo are in. Everybody's going to be ready.
Yep.
So it's going to be good.
Speaking of Traverse City,
mm-hmm.
tournament's going on right now. As we record this on Sunday afternoon, the Blues prospects are 1-1. They dropped the first game to Dallas, but came back and won a game against the Minnesota Wild prospects.
Yes, in overtime.
In overtime, which we were leading and gave up a tying goal, and then came back and won it in the overtime session.
Yeah, as I said off air, that in typical Blues fashion, they
right.
go ahead and blow the game at the end and then go ahead and win it in the in overtime. Just like game one of the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily unique to St. Louis, but it sure seems that way.
It
ain't
just
nothing easy with the Blues.
Damn right.
We're going to do everything the hardest way possible.
God damn, that's so true.
they have some stats cooked up already for the tournament. Two of the people that we are probably
them.
Highest on are Ty Ratty and Liam Carrier, and both of them have two goals apiece.
Yep. I hadn't seen much on Dmitry Yashkin. I don't know how he's doing out there, but you know, I know that's a guy that a lot of people have interest.
Two.
That's good. I mean, he's a big body. He's got a very good shot at making the team out of camp, although I don't think he will.
Dmitry probably is a long shot for making a team at camp.
Yeah.
But I could see him maybe being on a short list for an injury call-up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's definitely on that. To hear Ken Hitchcock talk about him, I mean, we only saw him for, what, 5 minutes last season?
Pretty much, that. Yeah.
I mean, to hear Ken Hitchcock talk about him, he's very high on him. He thinks he's got a very bright future, and as he played over in the queue when he was there, I mean, he's got the skills. And I'm very interested to see how he does in the NHL. Everybody thinks he's got a very good long career ahead of him, and that's great to know.
Yep, most definitely. Our goaltender for both games has been Jordan Bennington.
Very well thought of prospect, yes.
Yep, 6 goals allowed in 2 games for a goals against average. 3.01, 902 save percentage. From what I understand, he had a really good game that second game.
Yeah, the first game it pretty much shelled, I believe. But
yeah, but the second game supposedly he bounced back pretty well. Might have allowed a goal at one point early, but made like a stone wall in front of the net for the majority of the game.
Yeah.
And then the tying goal that happened was on a penalty kill. We had a guy take a double minor towards the end of regulation, and I think they might have even pulled the goaltender after that, so I'm sure he was getting shelled at the very end of the game.
I don't feel
bad about him giving up a tying goal at that point. It's not on a goaltender at that point.
Not in a situation like that. You've got to give the goalie a pass on situations like that.
The only other numbers that jump off at me as I'm looking at the stats page for the team at the tournament, Jacob Doty. D-O-T-Y. I'm guessing Doty.
That's got to be Doty.
2 games played, 0 shots, 14 penalty minutes.
Nice.
I'm going
to guess might have been the guy who got the double minor that led to the goal.
Possibly. I'm guessing there's probably a few five-minute majors.
Yeah, it could have been.
I think there's been a couple. There's been a couple of fights where he broke out of these tournaments.
Oh yeah,
I think he is that guy.
Yeah,
well, whoever it's worth.
You consider that, you know, those first two games. The first one was against the Stars, a division opponent now. And the second one is against the Wild, a division opponent now. And then this last one is against the Red Wings, a former division opponent and big rival.
Yep. Yeah, our division, the Howe division, the hosts of the tournament, Detroit Red Wings, the Stars, the Blues, and the Wild.
Go figure.
Dallas and Minnesota, of course, being division rivals now. The Wings being formerly so. And, of course, these kids are pulled from all over the country. Who knows where their, you know, hometown or childhood loyalties lie. But now they're all Blues fans.
Yep. And so it's like, hey, we're supposed to hate those guys. Let's punch them in the face. All right.
Something like that. It's a good experience for the kids. It's a good gauge for the coaches and scouts, the internal scouts, to kind of see what they have in their players. Absolutely. A lot of these kids, we're going to be returning them to the OHL, the WHL. We're going to be returning them to the AHL. This is a good time for them to kind of gauge where they're at in their development so that we can kind of give them some guidance forward.
Indeed. Indeed. Some of them are going to be sent overseas for training because they're not going to have room on the roster.
Possibly.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Also, too, I think considering that the Wolves have their own roster
concerns. And their own goaltender and
a few other guys. I'm wondering if we're maybe going to be loaning players to other AHL teams too.
I have a feeling that's going to happen. I think the ECHL is going to be utilized too, but my understanding is that Evansville is no longer an affiliate.
I wondered about that. They are an affiliate of the Blue Jackets, I believe.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's instead of or in addition to the Blues. That was an awfully short affiliation agreement if it was just that 1 year or two.
Yeah. It doesn't seem right is what I'm saying.
It sounds really weird, yeah. It makes me scratch my head as well. But if we don't have them as an ECHL affiliate, I'm sure there's somebody else that's willing to do that.
I think there's still an arrangement with the Alaska Aces that is still valid. I know Brett Ponich went there last year. So,
yep, and in really most cases, most ECHL teams are pretty accommodating. If they're getting an influx of talent, and it's just maybe, you know, roster space is a concern, they're basically getting the AHL-level talent on their team. They're not going to complain too much.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Although I know also with the Alaska Aces, they are now the ECHL affiliate of the Calgary Flames, but an affiliate.
Right.
So there's that going on too.
Speaking of the Flames, a former Flames player
Berkey
is going to be coming into our front office. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah. Oh, you might have heard of him. I think he wore a very prodigious number. Was it 16? Was that what?
Yeah, I think he's really only famous for being the son of an NHLer. Did he make a name for himself? I don't know.
I don't know. He's kind of a little loudmouthy. He might have been a jerk too. I don't know. Oh, you're about Brett Hull. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
The reason why I'm a Blues fan. Oh, wow.
The reason why I'm a hockey fan.
Yeah.
Truth be told. Yeah. I came into hockey by following the local team, and I followed the local team because Brett Hull.
Yep.
And it's been teased for a couple of years now about bringing him in to the fold.
Yep.
Bringing him into the Blues front office. I think maybe even Checkets might have made noises in that direction back in the day.
Dave Checkets made a lot of noises for different reasons.
Yeah. But when Stillman bought the team and his group, he also suggested that would be a good fit, particularly on the business side. Yeah. And what really kind of shook down is, and this has probably been in the works for a while, the Blues made some promotions internally first.
Yep.
They made the GM, Armstrong.
Yeah, they made him
president of hockey operations.
And then Bruce Affleck became the president of business operations.
Exactly. They promoted both the presidencies.
They're co-presidents and alternate governors, so you know that's a pretty high promotion.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good feather in both their caps.
Yeah,
And then doing that allowed them to bring in Brett Hull as vice president of business operations.
Yeah, because they were both some sort of vice presidents before that. That's why they got that those promotions. And, yeah, so they could slide him under that.
Basically, Brett's going to report to Bruce.
Yeah.
Brett's going to be the
I was going to say, while Al McInnes is still... Yeah, while Al McInnes is still around and is reporting to, I believe, Doug Armstrong, Brett Hull would report to Bruce Affleck. And they've worked together on things for years, so they know each other.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. And Al McInnes, I think, is more player development. So he's definitely on the hockey ops side of things.
Definitely.
Brett Hull, thank God he's not going to be a GM or GM type of role. He's not going to be signing Sean Avery.
Oh,
this is probably closer to the ambassador of fun role.
Yes, as Jay Mill referred to on Friday, I believe it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's basically he's basically going to get the golf outings and the ticket operations and all that shit taken care of. You know.
He's going to show up at some of the corporate sponsors that we want to attract, and allow the CEO of St. Louis Corporation, Inc., to say, hey, I got to rub elbows with Brett Hull. And they also put some coin in the pockets of the ownership group, more power to him. That's what it's all there for.
Absolutely. That's what he's there for. It's more, basically more of a marketing role.
Yeah.
You know, he can talk anybody's head off. So, I mean, it's a perfect fit. It really is.
It's a good fit for him.
Everybody seems to
really, really easily.
Yeah, everybody seems to still love him in St. Louis. I love the guy. I mean, he's, Brett goddamn Hull,
Yeah.
It's beneficial for everybody involved, it seems like. I mean, one of the concerns that I have heard is that they did reduce the ticket sales staff considerably in off-season. They think that that's possibly the reason why the season ticket sales have gone down a little bit. But I think if you bring in somebody like Brett Hull saying, hey, this guy's back in the organization. Now maybe you want to buy some tickets. You might get to hang out with him during the game,
Sure.
Anything is possible in that regard, but Brett Hull, having him in the organization is only going to be beneficial for everybody involved, as long as he's not on the player development or player procurement side, as we found out in Dallas.
Yeah, he has no player development or...
He's no scout.
He's not. Yeah, he is not going to be signing anybody contracts.
Yeah.
He
Doug Armstrong will keep a straight jacket on and make sure he doesn't do that.
Right. Right. he'll basically be the guy, like you said, going to golf outings. He'll make the appearances. He'll hobnob with some of the execs that we're trying to get as corporate sponsors. As important as season ticket holders are, and they're very important to the business side of things, getting the corporate sponsors are just as important, and
huge.
Possibly even more so, because the dollar values you get are huge chunks of money.
Yeah.
The boxes, the corporate suites, and whatever.
Yeah.
He'll be the guy who will be attracting some of the activity.
Yeah. He'll be the reason why some of those guys decide to come back. I mean.
Exactly. And as we've said before, there's no deodorant like winning.
Absolutely. And that's what the team's doing right now.
Yeah, exactly. He'll do all he can to give us the opportunity, but it'll be up to the players to actually create that excitement. Because once he put a good wing shoot together, that combined with the efforts of Brett Hull and Bruce Affleck, the money will come in. The sponsors will come in. This city is ready and waiting to accept them wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of a show-me attitude because we've been down this path before. We've been excited before and been let down.
Yep.
So you can't really blame them too much for being a little hesitant. But it's not dead. It's just they need something to be shown to them. I think these are the guys that will help prove it.
Yeah. The pieces are starting to get in place on that. And as I said, it can only be beneficial for all involved to have Brett Hull in the organization because he is the franchise.
Yep.
He is the goddamn franchise. I have much respect for Bernie Federko and how great he was, how well he played when he was with the Blues, how long he played for the Blues. Brett Hull is the goddamn franchise.
Yeah. He is the face of the modern franchise. I still think you have the Plaguer representation for the original Foundation level part of the franchise.
Absolutely.
In the modern era, it's Brett Hull.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 86 goals in one season. I mean, that's just incredible. It's unfathomable that now.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Brett Hull is probably the only Blues player that you can think of that would have, even if he wasn't a Blues player at the time, but the only Blues face that you can think of that would have guested on Saturday Night Live, which he did.
Yep.
Interviewed on David Letterman, which he's done.
Several times, I believe.
Several times. Part of that reason why he's where he is now with the Blues organization is he's an easy guy to talk to. Probably the only thing I feel bad about this whole situation is the fact that the moment it was announced he was coming to the Blues, the Twitter feed, Second Best Hole, got deleted.
Yeah.
He was great on Twitter.
Oh, I know. I know. So, yeah, they wanted to get rid of that. I think that had a lot to do with the fact that he had a lot of opinions about Buffalo. You know.
That. He had a lot of opinions on Buffalo, on various people, boobs,
yeah,
redheads. Yeah, so he had a lot of opinions that might not be considered good for a front office staff member to have on their resume.
Yeah. Oh, well.
The best whole tweets are the drunk whole tweets. Those were.
Oh, worries. God. Yes. Man.
And whenever him and Kelly Chase were yanking each other's chain, those were good.
Oh, God. Oh, how's the golf game, buddy? Oh, who gives a shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly Chase being a little bit more diplomatic than Brett Hull is because, I mean, they're longtime buddies. They've been hanging out with each other for I don't know how long now. But
I would love to see their DM conversations. I bet those are great.
Text conversations are probably even worse.
Oh, that too.
Oh, my God. Think about that one for a second. Well, maybe your head would probably explode. But anyway, that's just...
Yeah.
So, that is a negative side, but you know what? I'll take it. Sure. He'll come back. He'll come back to Twitter someday, I think.
I'm sure he will. I think he enjoyed it too much. To let it go completely. I think other people enjoy it too much for him to let it go completely.
He was the greatest.
He does. He does not shy away from the spotlight. He likes being talked about. He's got a bit of an ego.
I would too if I were as goddamn good as he was.
No kidding.
Oh my. Yeah, say he has a bit of an ego. It's kind of an understatement, but yeah.
I would have to confess when he left the Blues. I didn't mind too much because I had a couple of problems the way he conducted himself.
Sure.
I thought he aired too much locker room dirty laundry in the public. I thought that was kind of a bad thing.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago, and looking back on it now, maybe I was right, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I sure did like the way he was outspoken. I appreciate it more after the fact.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I think he was pretty ready to leave is because the ownership had brought in Mike Keenan, and I know they did not get along with each other very well. Mike Keenan didn't get along with a lot of guys when he was in St. Louis.
True.
And I think, in hindsight, looking at what Brett Hull kept saying and what the franchise was doing, it kind of pieces things together as to why it was very easy for him to take off.
Yeah.
You could have painted him in a corner, you could have painted the other side in a corner. If it weren't for Mike Keenan, I think Brett Hull probably would have finished his career as a St. Louis Blue.
Maybe so. I'm not too certain of that myself. I think he was kind of looking at direction anyway. One foot out the door already anyway. But yeah. It's hard to say, you know, not being in the situation is gonna be impossible to say for sure. It would have been nice if he had.
Yeah.
But then he would have had two cup rings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it worked out good for him.
Yeah. No, it worked out just fine for him, but it's just, I don't know.
The aborted comeback with the Phoenix Coyotes is kind of funny.
Yeah, he just didn't have it anymore at that point.
Hull is coming to the front office. If the Blues have a big season, this is definitely going to be a chapter two of that story.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if they end up making even the conference finals, which, you know, the Blues have been It's impossible for the Blues to make the conference finals, isn't it?
It seems that way.
Yeah, so even if the Blues make the conference finals, I would call this season a success, although I would rather have the further goal, which we all know. Yeah, that would be huge. Yeah, it's just another thing to add on to that.
Yep. I keep looking at this like, you know, your Stanley Cup DVD.
Yeah. Film that thing.
Yeah, exactly. How would those, you know, storyline play out? What's that narrative that you would write in retrospect about this season? And I think part of that narrative is talking about bringing St. Louis Blues legend and all-time great Brett Hull back into the fold and how that contributed somehow to the Blues' success.
Yeah. Puts butts in seats. That's something that Brett Hull does, doesn't he?
It's true. Testament to that fact is the three or four Brett Hull nights we've had over the years.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a running joke around us. Hey, let's have another Brett Hull night. We're probably going to have five of them this year, you know?
Something like that.
Nah, he's probably tired of getting run around like a rag doll on that. And I wouldn't blame him for that.
Jesus like a show Christ. Pony?
Yeah. Hi, how you doing? I'm back. Whee! He's got a smile on his face, but he's gritting his teeth at the same time, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love these people. Actually, I really do love these people, but I want to keep doing this.
Right? So that's pretty much a summary of what's happened in the last week, at least within the Blues world of events.
Yeah.
Outside of that, the league's been kind of quiet.
I'd say I think the thing that made biggest news over the week was the whole thing about we discussed Sean Avery earlier.
Yeah.
That there was a thing that was coming out that and a St. Louis area native and openly homosexual, Andy Cohen.
Is he from St. Louis?
He is from St. Louis. He is a huge Cardinals fan.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, and a huge Cardinals fan. He and Sean Avery are really good friends. But it recently came out from some tabloid that he and Sean Avery have been secretly engaged for 2 years. Now, we think that there's nothing to it, and I think there's nothing to it as well. But
probably not.
But if that's the biggest news in hockey this week, then we've had a pretty goddamn slow week.
Well, I would say also competing with that, maybe even bigger than that, is the Team Canada jerseys and the Buffalo Third jerseys.
Oh, that Buffalo. Buffalo one. Oh, my God.
I don't know what it is, but everybody wants to come out with new jerseys.
Yeah.
Minnesota's done it.
Yeah. Minnesota's is nice. I like theirs.
They are pretty sharp.
They took all that green shit off of their shoulders, basically, and the arms, and basically turned it into a simplified thing. It's basically, it looks like their home sweater, except it's nothing but white.
Yeah. San Jose came out with new uniforms. They've been teasing it for a while.
Yeah, they did the same thing. They took all the shoulder crap off.
I want to say someone down south did. Maybe the Panthers or somebody did.
If the Panthers did, nobody recognized it because the Panthers, well, they are fucking horrible this year.
Yeah.
They're going to be. I mean, it's
I think they made some changes. And
yeah.
Or was it Carolina?
Carolina made some changes. They definitely
That's what I'm
did.
Thinking of. Carolina made some changes.
Yeah,
and
they
the
took
Buffalo
all those.
Came out with their thirds, and they were summarily lambasted for it.
My favorite tweet on that was Don Cherry parody.
Don Cherry parody.
If you took the Nashville Predators sweater and the St. Louis Blues sweater, you married them together, and you'd have the Buffalo Sabres third.
Yeah. Basically the bastard love child of the Blues and Preds.
Yeah.
The Perds,
yeah, that was the other thing I was going to bring up. The Nashville PR folks sent out an email to people who had bought tickets from them in the past.
Yeah.
Accidentally misspelled. It was not the only typo in that email, but that was the most glaring typo. Instead of saying go Preds, they said go Perds.
And what's great is they sent a follow-up email that totally took ownership of it and made it even more fun with it.
Yeah.
They sent out a follow-up email saying, we came to our attention that there was a typo in the previous message. But, you know, we're just so gosh darn excited about the season coming up that we don't even have time for spell check. And the whole thing is just riddled with spelling errors, grammatical errors, text speak. You know, so it can't even think straight. And it's STR and the number 8 and all kinds of stuff like that. And then the sign off on that one was Go Perds.
If I were, you know, it's one of those things, like, if I were drunk and sending this off to a buddy of mine, nobody would ever talk about it, right?
Right, right, right.
But if I'm the PR director of the Nashville Predators and that gets sent out, holy shit, it explodes.
But I think they handled it pretty well.
They handled it perfectly.
They had fun with it.
Perfectly.
There's T-shirts now you can get that says "Go Perds."
I'm gonna start calling them the Perds this year. I mean,
why not?
They're not going to be good this year, probably. I mean, they got a chance of, you know, maybe rising up and doing something. They have Barry Trotz is still around, so I mean,
I can totally see if they make the playoffs and they get down a game or two and then come back and win, it'd be the revenge of the Perds.
The revenge of the Perds. Oh, sorry.
Nice.
Jokes for one. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Scott, it's been a while since I've seen the Revenge of the Nerds. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Now I look back on those almost like documentaries now.
Yeah, I know. This is me in college without the glasses.
Exactly.
I know how to get drunk. Oh, that's only because you watched, whatever.
And looking back, I think the Nerds did win, because now they own everything.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
It's good to be a nerd.
Absolutely, absolutely. Didn't work out for me too well, but, you know.
Well, yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Me either.
Hey, I'm living.
Well, I finished my beer. I have to give it a passing grade.
Good.
I don't think I've met a beer that are truly hated, except for maybe with one or two exceptions. Is there a beer that you absolutely, positively despise? You wouldn't drink it if it was free?
Wouldn't drink it if it was free? There is not a beer in existence on that one. But if I had to choose one that I would probably never wish to drink again?
Yes.
Probably Keystone Ice.
I have not had the opportunity to drink that. I don't think I've had any of the Keystone products.
Okay, well, be thankful for that. My brother used to, and I think he still does, drinks Keystone Premium, which is the red can.
Okay.
Obviously, we're most familiar with Keystone Light, the blue can.
Yeah.
But Keystone Ice has got to be the most wretched shit I've ever drank in my life.
For a brand like Keystone, I would imagine that the word premium has got little quotes next to it.
Yeah. Premium is, yeah, it should be italicized, basically. With a question mark and an underscore and an exclamation point after the question mark. Premium?
Premium?
I'm Ron Burgundy. But yeah, it's...
yeah. Burgundy?
Keystone Ice is just, I mean...
I don't know if it... Is it considered ironic for a stag drinker to look down on Keystone?
No, I would say no. I would say no. I would... If there were two beers at the table, one of them was a Keystone, one of them was a stag, I'm taking the stag.
10 out of 10 times, same here.
Yeah, I mean, 100 times out of 100, I would say.
Yeah!
I mean, Jesus fucking Christ.
I used to say that I've never had a bad free beer. I stopped saying that after someone bought me a Miller High Life.
That's pretty bad, too.
Now, Miller Genuine Draft, not bad.
Yeah.
I've had MGDs. Don't have a problem with them. Not my first choice, but, you know, not bad.
Oh, not I would drink it. I drink it. Sure. I drink it every once in a while.
Somebody bought me a Miller High Life one time, and I couldn't even finish it. It was horrible.
The champagne of beers, but man, that's a fucking lie.
Yeah, it is.
Miller High Life. There's a reason why instead of selling it in 24-ounce cans, they sell it in 32-ounce cans. They got to get it off the goddamn shelf. You've noticed that before where you see the 2x4s, and next to that you see the Miller High Life right next to it, and it's a 32-ounce can?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually if I'm in that section,
I don't get it.
I'm either getting the tall boys of Stag, or occasionally in that same section you'll get your Foster's oil cans. I haven't had one of those in a long time, but those are good.
Yeah, I'm not much on Foster's. I haven't had it in a while. I really can't tell you how bad it tastes now. But apparently in Australia, they fucking hate it down there. It's basically the piss water.
Yeah.
It's basically the natural light of beers down there.
Right, right. It is. That's what I've heard, too.
So, yeah. They got so many other different options down there. And if I go to Australia, I'm not having a Foster's. Let's put it that way.
I'll have at least one. If I go to Australia, I'll have at least one Foster's.
Those oil cans, though, those are massive. I wish some of the beers around here came in those cans, but then they'd get warm down at the bottom, and then they wouldn't taste as good. But
that is the downside. There's been times where I would pour out of the can into a frosty mug, and I would put the can back in the fridge.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you got to do it. I mean, something's got to be done.
Yeah. Well, this episode's a pretty short one. Well, I don't know about short, but pretty low-key.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was going to say, nothing short about us talking for nearly an hour.
Yeah. We can ramble as good as the best of them. Especially together.
Think about what's gonna happen when the season starts when we actually have shit to talk about.
We're going to have to edit ourselves somehow.
I'll have to work on that.
Did you like the game? I like the game. Did you like the game? I like the game. We both like the game. Moving on. Okay.
They played Detroit. Fuck Detroit. Oh, shit, yeah.
Moving on. Next game.
Fuck Chicago. Yay!
Yay! Next issue.
Next issue. What was that? What was that show? What was that fucking show that did that? Was it the McLaughlin Report? Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was Saturday Night Live mocking the McLaughlin Report.
Yeah.
What did I have for breakfast this morning?
Bacon and eggs. Yeah, that's good.
Wrong!
Next issue. Yeah, we're going to be doing that a lot during this season. It's going to be
quite possibly
insane.
All right. Well, we're going to probably, I guess, cut it off right there. Do you have any drinking exploits to share with the crowd before you sign off?
Well, I just bought a six-pack. I've gotten through four of the bottles thus far. I don't really get the opportunity to drink much anymore, obviously. Byron Brewing Company is a brewery out of Missoula, Montana. You would think it would be out of Germany, right?
Right.
It is run by a German national, I believe, or at least it's a generation to generation. It's like they're in their 26th year right now. So they have a dark hef ale. It is called Dragon's Breath. And
okay.
It is 6% alcohol by volume, and it is delicious. It is very delicious. It's a dark hefeweizen, basically. It doesn't make you breathe like a dragon. It's not like hot or anything like that. But it is very tasty. And it's something about Byron Brewing Company. As the name suggested, Byron as a word is, I believe, German for Bavarian. Ah. So they're very good with the German-type ales and lagers. Lead to believe that somebody would have a dark Hefeweizen.
Sure.
And these folks have it, and it is very good.
The last time I was at the Flying Saucer trying some different stuff out, I tried a rye beer. It was from Boulevard out of Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of the Boulevard Rye, yeah.
And it was called Boulevard Westside Rye.
Yep.
And it was pretty tasty. Rye beers are not one I've had a lot of experience with, but I enjoyed it. Again, yeah. I'll enjoy most any beer, at least for a pint's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Yeah. There has been a big influx of rye beers lately. You think of rye, you think of whiskey, right?
Yeah.
But now, let's put it this way. Over here in Missoula, over at Big Sky Brewing Company, which we talk a lot about because, mm-hmm. well, they are the cock of the walk out here, and they're the ones that have been distributed in the Midwest. They had a rye IPA at one point. I believe it was winner of a contest, actually.
Oh.
And it was very tasty. Then again, I've never met an IPA I don't like. So.
Yeah.
I have a long IPA winning streak.
We should probably put a disclaimer on our show that don't consider any of these beer recommendations ironclad. Because truthfully, we pretty much like all beers.
Yeah, I was just saying.
I've liked almost every beer I've ever had. So I'm not exactly that picky.
Exactly. Neither am I. So.
Take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah. I used to drink Budweiser by the gallon, for Christ's sake. I mean, and I know a lot of people who probably listen to this podcast, they don't like Budweiser. So, you know.
Yeah, I like Budweiser straight up. Bud Light, I don't really care for. I'll drink it if it's there. I mean, it's not like I think it's bad. I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's very flavorful.
No.
Straight Budweiser is I think, better in that regards.
Yeah, I would rather drink Busch beer than Bud Light, personally.
I know what, I haven't had Busch in a long time, but if it was in front of me, I'd drink it, sure.
It's been a couple of years for me. I mean, most of you folks know that my dad passed away, you know, a few years ago. That was his beer of choice. So we used to have this arrangement. You know, I'd run out of beer, I'd drink one of his, and I'd buy him some the next day of his.
Nice.
And he would have the same arrangement. He'd run out of beer, he'd drink some of mine, and he'd buy me some the next day.
That's a good arrangement.
It was a bit of a give and take. So you know, at that time I drank Budweiser, he drank Busch. So it worked out perfectly.
For a while, a couple years back, I dated a girl whose parents were big Stag fans. So I hit it off with them. They would always have a cooler full of Stags sitting on the front porch, and they would just, you know, sit on the front porch. I mean, they were retired folk mostly.
Yeah.
And they would just sit there and drink Stag on the front porch. That was their weekend, you know, not doing anything else type of activity. So I was instantly well liked as a you know, suitor to their daughter by walking up and bringing along a 12-pack of Stag.
I'll refill it for you, and we can share all of them. How about that?
Exactamundo. I was instantly a hit.
Bingo. That's perfect.
Yep. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us.
Absolutely.
We'll look forward to any comments you have, anything you want to contribute. I want to say that we actually had a pretty good conversation on our last entry, our last article where we have a blog post. A person questioned the hockey news forecasting the Blues win a Stanley Cup, thinking it was a rehash of the previous years, because they also did it then, too.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at that thread, I do have some photographs. Just a couple nights ago, I was at Barnes & Noble, and went and looked and found the Hockey News yearbook for 2013-2014, the upcoming season. Mm-hmm. And yes, indeed, in that issue, they do have the Blues winning the Stanley Cup. I took some photographs. So,
yeah.
Visual evidence.
Yeah, it has happened. It's pissing me off. Quit picking the Blues as a fucking jinx, I'm telling you. Not that I'm superstitious or anything. I mean,
no,
Jesus Christ. I mean, I only wear, you know, Broncos stuff every Sunday when they fucking play. I'm not superstitious at all.
No, not in the least.
God.
Hockey fans are never superstitious.
No,
not at all.
Yeah, there's a battle between baseball players and hockey players as to which ones are more superstitious. And God, it's close, but I think the edge goes to hockey.
Probably.
Yeah. So, God, it just pisses me off. People are picking the Blues. Don't do it.
So,
it's a trap.
I hope the good comments and the back and forth continues. Someone questioned about music on the article. I just want to put it out there is that the music that we use, maybe not one you've ever heard before, but that's we chose this music primarily because it's public domain.
It's public domain and it's old
old blues school blues.
Stuff. Old school blues.
And I think that fits our team very well.
And the intro track talks about getting drunk. So, I mean,
why wouldn't we use that?
Why wouldn't we use that? So,
as Darren Pang would say, why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? So, yeah, I'm trying to remember the names of the tracks, and I can't remember them offhand, but the first one, that one, is...
The intro track is called Barefoot Blues.
The Barefoot Blues by... I'm trying to remember the name of the artist, and I'm going to look that up at this moment.
Yeah, I would have to do the same as well.
The Barefoot Blues is played by Jelly Jaw Short.
Yes.
And in the outro...
The outro is called Skippy Whippy.
And it is by the Mississippi Juk Band.
Yes. I actually really love that tune.
Yeah, if there's any state that knows anything about the blues, it's the state of Mississippi.
Yep.
That's basically where it originated.
Yep, and I found that it's kind of fascinating on that site. Here we go, rambling again. I found on that site that a couple of the tunes that was listed there that I found these other ones at were songs written about the Mississippi River flooding.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of tunes about rivers and flood. I wish we could have used one of those, but some of the sound quality wasn't that good.
When the Levee Breaks, I believe, is a classic that was based on a big flood of the river.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, we actually almost put that one on there, and we may end up using that eventually later on. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to.
If it keeps on raining, the levee's going to break. That's where Led Zeppelin guy is, from an old blues standard from way, way back.
Yeah, and it's long since covered since then, but yeah.
Yeah.
The Led Zeppelin version, obviously the most popular. We could never use that.
Yeah.
You know.
My memory of that tune, When the Levee Breaks, it was the unofficial anthem of the summer of 1993.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah. Maybe not want to dredge that up. I mean, yeah. Obviously, it's the 20th anniversary of that happening. And,
yep, this summer.
Yeah. And this summer's almost over. Summer's almost over, dude.
It's almost like a time.
Oh, my. So.
All right. Well, if you are want to continue any dialogue or open up a new dialogue with us, there's plenty of ways of doing that.
Sure. First thing is the email, beyondcheckerdome@gmail.com. And you can also send us a tweet at @BYNDCheckerdome.
Yep, that's a good way of getting a hold of us. And
absolutely.
I might slack a little bit, but I know we both check that regularly and try to keep tabs on anybody talking at us or with us.
Absolutely.
I try to save some of my best comments for the Beyond Checkerdome feed.
Yeah.
Like, that's really funny. I'm going to say something. Wait, no, I'm going to say it over here instead.
And just as a primer, if you see -CCR on it, that is by you.
Yep.
If you see -DK on it, it is by me.
And if it's completely blank, it's probably me because I forgot to put CCR on it.
I've noticed that every once in a while.
I've done that a couple of times. It's my fault.
Yeah, so I rarely slack on that, but then again, I rarely tweet from there because I really haven't had time to do that because let me give you an idea. This is the last time I'm recording in the apartment that I'm in now. Next week when I'm at my new place, I'll have boxes strewn about all over my fucking apartment. Yeah, I've been pretty damn busy with that and work, and we've got like compliance going on at work, and this is the weirdest fucking week that is ever going to happen. So I got all sorts of shit going on, so I don't really get to tweet as much as I used to, but I still get around.
With that, I guess we'll just sign off here.
Let's do it now.
Hit us up, create some dialogue in the comments below. Next couple of weeks should be pretty exciting, and it won't be long before it's time for the season to begin.
Training camp, baby.
Training camp. Until then, have a good week, everybody.
Hasta luego.